Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy and all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday. It's December 2nd, 2014. We're going to continue today's broadcast by playing the entirety of a message I gave about 6 or 7 weeks ago at the First Baptist Church of Rantoul. Pastor Ken was out of town. He asked me to fill the pulpit. I felt God gave me a message about adoption and God's wonder-working power. Yesterday I covered points 1 and 2. There is great freedom, comfort, and peace in Christ for those who follow him, and there is suffering in the world, and there will be suffering and discomfort in your life, but God's in control, and he'll be there for you. The verses I shared were Romans 8:15 through 18 and 2 Corinthians 12:9. We'll begin where I left off yesterday and play in this message in its entirety, and I'm calling it more of a fireside chat. But we'll begin right at the third point, when you are weak, God does great things. And you'll eventually hear three very specific radio stories, one which was used of God to help birth the radio ministry, finding our first radio tower, then the story of the special gift, and then how the singing men got birthed. Yesterday's and today's broadcasts are archived at greatnewsradio.org, and just look for my name, Mark Burns, with the title Adoption and God's Wonder-Working Power. I'll also point out the audio is not that great, but if you listen carefully, I hope you'll be blessed by the message.
Now, my point three is derived from the 2 Corinthians 12:9 passage. But he said to me, and this is God again speaking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, God's power, is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul goes on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. When we are weak, my point being, God does great things. So don't let your pride or self-centeredness or self-sufficiency thwart what he desires to do in and through you as he wants to work in your life today. I know I tend to be, like maybe many men or many Americans, very self-sufficient. I can do it my way. I can do it on my own. I don't need help. It's humbling to kind of have people come alongside you. Oftentimes we do that to God too. Oh, God, don't worry about this little thing. I can handle it. I'll call on you for the bigger things. God wants to be in every detail of everything that we do. And so don't let pride or that self-centeredness or self-sufficiency keep you from seeing the miraculous work that God would do through you. I can't even tell you how many times God's allowed me to do it in my own strength and effort until I finally burn out or get overwhelmed or are taxed. I think God says, okay, Mark, you want to do it on your own? I'm going to let you do it on your own. And then finally, I realize I can't do it on my own. I come crying back to him. He's like, I knew you'd come around. And then he's done some wonderful things. So I guess my challenge is I share some radio examples of him at work. You'll see that there are maybe places in your life where you've taken control or you've not leaned into him or you haven't asked him to order your steps. And so I have some illustrations I'll explain. And I was initially going to entitle this message, In Spite of Me. I've seen God do so many incredible things that sometimes I just sit back and I think, oh God, in spite of me getting in the way, I marvel how you accomplished this, how you achieved this, how you turned this situation into a real positive thing. I kind of delight sometimes in thinking, gosh, God, how do you keep doing these wonderful things when I get in the way? But hopefully as we all learn together to relinquish control and to invite him in, we will participate in his work. I know how many times I try to be intentional when I wake up in the morning, and it may be a good practice for some of you to think through, Lord, order my steps this day. Arrange those divine appointments so that you're at work. Help me not neglect or be so consumed with the urgency of the moment to miss out on those divine appointments, those circumstances where you want to work, but I'm maybe preoccupied with my own agenda or my own appetite or whatever it is where God's like setting up things and then you just miss out. And they don't have to be great things. It might be just stopping and rolling down your window as you see a neighbor out in the yard raking. I was watching the video screen with those leaves falling. Now, here's what I was saying. I was thinking, oh, yeah, God, a few more weeks, maybe a month or so, all those leaves will drop, and then the radio signal will get further into people's homes because sometimes they get obstructed by the leaves. So I'm thinking, you know, Lord, get those leaves down sooner so more people can hear the broadcast. But somebody's out in their yard raking their leaves, or you open up a door, you see a mom walking into the grocery store, and, you know, you hold the door, or you say a kind, affirming word to somebody. Or that telemarketer calls you and you really just want to hang up on them. You entertain the conversation for a minute or two and just say, hey, I hope you have a good day. I know you have a hard job to do. You know, you would be surprised how those little seeds can make a real impact on somebody's life. Okay, so here's some storytelling about the radio ministry where I've seen God work in spite of me or take something that I had no skills or abilities or intentions to accomplish and He raised up different things. I had no radio background. I was a grocery store manager for Jewel Food Store, 16 years, worked my way up, if you will, the corporate ladder. I was the store manager at Neil and Green Street for 5 years, 1988 to 92. My training was putting the cans on the shelf, customer service, ordering. My last store that I managed was 24 hours a day, 130 employees, and I was responsible for everything, a $10 million budget, and endless headaches and concerns, and yet I thrived at it, and that's what I was trained to do. When God called me to be a part of a radio ministry, I wasn't one of those engineer types. I wasn't a ham operator. I didn't have any technical background. At the time, I had no interest in it at all. It was a prayer request shared by Dr. Bruce Dunn, who pastored a church in the Peoria area. He was on the radio for many years, the Grace Worship Hour. Some of you might be familiar with him, but he graduated with Billy Graham, so he was that same vintage. It's in the book. Finished well, a godly man, old-time preaching. But he retired as a neighbor and lived across the river from us, so we'd see him every couple of weeks. And one day at a small group, he shared, pray for a Christian radio station to be raised up in the area. And we were like, there's BGL. Do we need another station? 2 weeks later, pray with us on this. And then we were like, I don't even think I prayed at the time, maybe just during that time. But the third time we met, he said, I'm really praying God raises up a radio station with more teaching, more traditional music. And I'm praying, Mark, that He's going to raise you up. Well, He got my attention because it'd be like if Billy Graham spoke a word into your life saying, I'm going to raise you up. Dr. Bruce Dunn was that same caliber of preacher, teacher. In fact, he had on his wall a message from Billy Graham, saying to Dr. Bruce Dunn that Dr. Bruce Dunn, was Billy Graham's favorite pastor on the radio. He had that frame. And they graduated within a couple of years of each other at Wheaton College, so they knew each other. Anyway, so here's Dr. Bruce Dunn pointing at me saying he's going to pray that God will raise me up. So he got my attention. I started praying. I went up to the Moody Broadcasting Network. Even though I had no radio background, no broadcasting or technical experience, no training, I'll share a story about the singing men. I had never sang before, was never in a choir, couldn't read music, but I'll share some of these examples because how God worked through them all. So where do I start? Let me just give you a little background on the radio ministry, and then I'll share the stories. The radio ministry's goal is to educate, edify, and evangelize all who tune in, primarily through our radio broadcasts, but we have a lot of radio events. We have a singing men's choir. As you heard, I've taken trips to Israel, but we always want to have programming that educates, edifies, and evangelizes. And so over these past 18 and a half years, we have seen lives changed. As we know, people write in, so I'll cite some of the things that people have written in, that they've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through listening. We've had Christians write us literally every day. I get mail. It's one of my favorite things to read, listener letters, how they're encouraged by our music mix and the variety of programming. If you haven't tuned in, there's 89.3 FM, and then there's WGNN 102.5, 103.9, and 97.1 FM. But the two different stations, it's a little complicated. There's three frequencies and one frequency. 89.3 has different programming than WGNN. So there might be music on one station, teaching on the other, but 89.3 FM, I usually pick out 250 to 400 different songs a day. So you'll hear everything from a harp arrangement of Amazing Grace to maybe a children's choir to a black spiritual to a southern gospel to a light contemporary. None of the real young, upbeat hip-hop, but a lot of the conservative, traditional what I feel is God-honoring music, but a variety. So I can educate people in a variety of ways that God's using music. But we get a lot of feedback on 89.3 FM, all the variety of music. And there's no commercials. So if any of you have trouble sleeping at night, we don't have to keep you awake to sell you any merchandise or promote any item. We'll soothe you back to sleep. So if you have trouble sleeping, 89.3 FM. You should get a good, clean, clear signal here in and around the Rantoul area. But we get feedback about our teaching programs, the radio announcements, the scripture readings, all hopefully helping fortify you in your faith journey. It's a productive way of using your time as you're traveling around, or we have a lot of farmers when they're in the combines or heading to the grain elevator, or when you have some downtime and you have it just as background music, or when Ken's not available, it's in the middle of the night and you just need some comforting words, or maybe there's some examples here where you've tuned in at the right time and it's a concept you were thinking about. Maybe it's a devotional thought you had heard about and you're still pondering it, and then it's reaffirmed through a Bible teaching or a verse, or you're just agonizing over a loss and a song comes on that God uses. I get testimonies just about every single day where God speaks personally to people that tune in. So if you're unfamiliar with the radio station, I did bring a little display out there. Grab a program guide, tune in at a variety of times, and see if he doesn't also speak to you. So we receive a lot of feedback. Elderly people that are shut in on Sunday and can't go to church. International students that will tune in to better understand the English language, so they like the teaching and talk program. We have a lot of that on 102.5 WGNN. Inmates at the Rockville Women's Prison draw strength from our broadcast through the preaching and the sermons on Sunday. Pastors and Sunday school teachers, many times they're preparing a message and they'll tune in and hear a point of clarification. People wrestling with a question that they have with God, and sometimes it's answered through a devotional thought just for them. Kids tune in. We have children's programming that have spiritual content. Households are blessed by the family programming. They call in for resources. But the proclamation of the good news, the message of Jesus Christ, is always being broadcast, providing hope, encouragement, clarity, and a biblical worldview to help listeners throughout the day. So if you're not listening to Christian radio on an ongoing basis, whether it's WBGL or Great News Radio, or maybe you can get something out of Chicago, WMBI, try it. You're really missing out if you don't tune in from time to time. Okay, so with all that said, why did I choose this verse? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Well, that's why I kind of kidded. I asked Ken, could I have 3 or 4 hours to cite some of the many ways God has used my weakness to bring about his glory? And Ken says, no, Mark, how about 12 o'clock? And I said, okay, so let me share a few examples of how God has truly worked miraculous things in my and others' weakness, but how he's always brought along either other faithful believers, circumstances, or situations. So he was glorified, but the work got accomplished. I'll take you back to 1995. I'm told we need to find a radio tower to begin broadcasting. Well, I don't know anything about radio towers. Like I said, I have no technical background in the radio station. But at the time, I was recruiting. Why, at the time I had 10 bus drivers, I was recruiting 500 guys to go to an Indianapolis Promise Keepers men's conference. And I had a waiting list of 20 people that needed tickets, and I wasn't even taking any more calls. And so that was just something that was heavily weighing on me as I was providing meals and housing and all this for 500 guys. Well, on a Friday night, I was told, Mark, look around the Fisher-Foosland area for a tower. Our engineers have decided we can find a frequency if we find a tower in that area. And I'm just driving on the roads looking for towers. I mean, that's how basic it was. Look for towers. So I'm driving around. And I said, oh, there's a tower. We're on Route 47 in the Fisher-Foosland area. And I remember pulling up. There was a couple of farms right around the area. Most of the towers are out in the country on farmland. And I remember this woman was feeding the hogs right near this tower and stopped by and, you know, yelled from my car because you're on somebody else's property. And I said, hey, do you know who owns that tower? And she says, I think it's Illinois Power out of Paxton. I'm like, okay, thank you. I'm thinking, Illinois Power. I know a guy who works for Illinois Power. I'll have to call him up and see if he knows anyone that deals with their towers, and that could work out great. Well, that's Friday night, Saturday morning, I'm home, the phone starts ringing, as had been the pattern, because I was coordinating these 500 guys. at the time I determine that's going to be the last call I answer that day, because it gets kind of wearing when you're coordinating phone calls at your home number. And so the phone rings, and I say to myself, that'll be the only call I take this day. Because I had 20 people on a waiting list, so there was no more information, no more tickets. And all I was really telling people is no more tickets. And so this individual says, I'm Bob. Do you have any tickets? And I said, oh, no, Bob. I'm not even taking names down. You were my last call, actually. He said, oh, I really wanted to go with my son-in-law. Is there any chance? I said, really, there's no chance. I'm not even putting names down on the waiting list. He said, oh, I really wanted to go. Can you just take my name down? I'm like, oh, okay. Bob, there's no chance you're going to be able to go, but I'll take your name down. I said, Bob, what's your last name? Bob Thompson. Now, where are you from? Paxton. And I don't know why. This had to be a God thing, because I said, hey, this is going to sound crazy, but by any chance, do you know anyone that works for Illinois Power out of Paxton? And he goes, why? And I said, oh, long story. I'm trying to start up this Christian radio station. And this person that lives near the tower said, Illinois Power out of Paxton owns that tower. Hey, you're from Paxton. You know, why not ask? And he goes, Illinois Power out of Paxton doesn't own that tower. Eastern Illini Electric Cooperative does. And I'm the chairman of the board. I said, you know, Bob, I might be able to get you tickets. And it did come to work out where he did get tickets to go. But of all the people in the whole world to call me, I had never met Bob, didn't know Bob. He happens to say Paxton the night before. That's where I heard the tower was from. I ask him the one in a billion questions. Do you know who owns that? He's the chairman of the board. We've been on that tower for 18 years. That was like the beginning of, okay, God, you're in this. Because you couldn't have orchestrated a circumstance like that. And the fact that I even asked him that question, I think, was prodded by the Holy Spirit, because it was so unusual. But that was kind of the beginning. Okay, God, this is your radio ministry. The next one, I know there was a point where we had to raise like $87,000, and we had mentioned that on the air for some weeks. But what people didn't know, 2 months after we raised that, say, $87,000, we had to come back and raise another $100,000. I had kept that private. There's a thing called donor fatigue. You can only ask people so many times, we need money, and then it has a negative result. It's like people are like tired. Why do they always need money? And you heard other ministries like that. You think, why do they always need money? Well, we were in the situation, and I just thought, Lord, I don't know how you're going to provide. But we were responsible. We were doing our work. We were contacting people. But it got to the last day. We needed about $8,000. And I remember distinctly, we needed $8,000 for the $87,000. Nobody knew about the additional $100,000 that we needed. I remember going to the radio tower. I painted for like 12 hours that day. It's just like, Lord, we'd done everything we could to raise the funds. I don't know where the last $8,000 is going to come from. And not even worrying about the other $100,000, I just thought, I don't know where the $8,000 is going to come from, but you can provide, and I feel like I need to do what I can do, and that was the painting. It's 10:30 at night. I go to the mailbox, which was my pattern. You'd have to know this quirky thing about me. Whenever I got the mail, I always put the little envelopes first, and those are usually the Great News Radio giving envelopes, and then the bills are those number 10, the larger envelopes. And so I just had this practice where I'd line them all up, and I'm really quick. I can click and pop and twist and pull out the checks. And so I'm sitting there. It's 10:30 at night at the post office box, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, there's 50, there's 100, wow, a $500 gift, 20, 30, 70, 50, 200. And so I'm mentally adding it up, and I'm like, wow, that's about $3,000 already. And I'm down to the last envelope. It's this larger size number 10 envelope. And for a split second, I think, well, we need 8,000. Wouldn't it be just like God? Wouldn't that be cool if that last check was for $5,000? But then instantly, if you're like me, you're like, we know God could do that, but if that wouldn't happen. I mean, a $5,000 check of the unique way I arranged the envelopes. But I did think, wouldn't that be neat? And so I open it up, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, this is weird. And I'm thinking, oh, this is one of those Ed McMahon, you've won, you know, the clearinghouse checks. Has any of you gotten that where you think you've won something? And then I looked at it again. I'm thinking, oh, this looks like one of those AT&T, and then you deposit it, and you get a credit on your phone bill. And I look at it the third time, and I'm like, this says $100,000, and I read it, and it was an anonymous gift, $100,000. Why that was so unique is because here, for a moment, I'm thinking, $5,000, no way could God do that. $5,000, I mean, God could do it, but here I'm thinking, $100,000, anonymous check. And not only did that allow the 8,000, obviously we made it, but that put 95,000 towards the 100,000 we needed. And it was like, oh God, how could you do that? But he did. And to this day, we still don't know who gave that gift. So once again, I just saw God do an incredible thing, provide in an unusual way that could never be done. I guess I got about 4 minutes. One more story. The Singing Men of GNN. Thank you, Al. Al and I sang the national anthem at the women's volleyball match. God has used the Singing Men in so many different ways. It's kind of incredible. It's not just in churches. We've been able to present to the general public at events with the military, just different venues where communities have invited us in. I had never sang before. Couldn't hold a note. In fact, most of the time when the choir sang or the worship team, that's when I read the bulletin. That's when I told jokes. I was kind of a little obnoxious growing up. The ministry of music wasn't a big part of my life. So it was ironic that God would have me think the concept of bringing men together. But it began because I was out at the radio tower on a Saturday, and I remember distinctly my pattern when I go to the tower, and it was 6 days a week for about the first 10 years. I always tried to read a couple passages of Scripture, or a couple chapters. I always tried to read about 3 or 4 chapters. And it was a Saturday, and I thought to myself, I'm just in there to get working, get done, get home. And something told me, read the Scripture. And I'm like, I don't know, some of you guys, I was very focused on work and get home, but something told me, read the Scriptures. And I happened to be in the Psalms. I stopped and paused and I said, okay, God, I just feel like I'm supposed to read the Scriptures, even though it's a Saturday. And, you know, I'm not legalistic when you have to read, but I just felt, okay. I came across Psalm 40 and just started reading. I read 38, 39, and then 40. And 40, Psalm 40, verse 5 goes, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us, no one could recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they'd be too many to declare. I thought, oh, that's really interesting. And get men together to sing and declare the wonders of God. And I share that, and there's a whole lot more to that story, but it's like God spoke into my heart, gather men together to sing and declare the wonders of God. And I believe it's because I was obedient, because he said, get into the Word. And so I did, and I read it, and without any singing background, reading notes, I just knew I was called to gather men together. Now we've been singing, I think it's 16 years now. We have a couple CDs out. He's used the group in a number of ways, but it was because I heeded his call and followed through on what I think he was saying is, you know, bring these men together. And the irony is, and the guy's still kind of kid about my singing ability, but God has raised up these men. And again, it was not because of my abilities. It was because I was available and I saw fit to say, Lord, involve me, use me. And so I guess to close, God's not looking for your abilities. In fact, your abilities are pretty small. Some of you might be great at what you do, but they're pretty small in God's economy. But when you submit, surrender, and obey Him, you'll see Him do some incredible things. And that's what His desire and design is for all of us, that we submit and follow Him. Let me pray. Father God, You are good, and You delight in each and every one of us that's here today. It's an incredible concept that You've adopted us into Your family, that You care for us, that You love us, that You want to participate and work in and through us. And so may we be sensitive and surrendered and obedient and joyful in allowing You access to our hearts. And so thank You for these believers. Thank You for these seekers. Thank You for each and every person that carved out time to be here today. May we honor You throughout this week and have our own God sighting stories to share as we allow You to work in and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that concludes about a 45-minute talk I gave at the First Baptist Church of Rantoul some weeks back as I had the privilege of filling the pulpit. The title of my message was Adoption and God's Wonderworking Power, but it was more really of a fireside chat where I got to brag up God in the unique ways He's birthed this radio ministry and He continues to provide for it through you. And my prayer for you today is that you'll realize that God wants to do a wonder-working power through you as you draw on Him and allow Him to order your steps. I see we have a little time left. Let me pull out 3 prize winners. Marilyn Horn from Rankin will win a prize. Les Foster from Paxton. And Vera Mace from Savoy, I'll pull out some gift or book or CD from our prize cabinet and put those in the mail for you. Hopefully you're going to enjoy all of our great Christmas music, especially on 89.3 FM, where there's a great variety of the traditional, choral, classical holiday favorites that honor and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.